And please take up your Bibles.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, Where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has told me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him.
Thank you, Anne. Well, when people do bad stuff, which of course happens all the time, doesn't it? Big stuff that makes the news. We've seen that the last couple of days, particularly. Smaller stuff that doesn't make the headlines as such. People talk and think and they try and work it out, don't they? If we could just know what makes humans behave badly, we can fix it. We can train the children up right and it'll all be okay. But we don't know. The world doesn't know. We stumble around in the dark not knowing what to do. We don't even know what we're up against. The world doesn't even know who the enemy is, do they? We need the light. And Jesus turns on the light, doesn't he? Because he is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It would be one thing to say, I can show you the light. Oh, I know where the light is. Jesus says, I am the light. I mean, it's a huge thing to say. And he says this whilst in Jerusalem, still at the Festival of the Tabernacles. And his timing is explained because this festival, remembering Israel's wandering in the wilderness, has a number of themes which Jesus already kind of pointed himself as the fulfillment of. So it isn't in the festival bit, but manna was given by God in a desert. And chapter 6, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. God also gave water from the rock when they were in the wilderness. And chapter 7, Jesus said, anyone thirsty, come to me. And now, light. And you see verse 20 of the passage just read. He said these things while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put, near also two big candelabras, illuminating the area, reminding the people that God's presence led them by a pillar of cloud in the day and fire at night. And if you think about that for a moment, desert days, I haven't been in the desert myself really, but they have killer heat, don't they? So God is a shade, a pillar of cloud. Desert nights have killer cold, don't they? God was a fire. His Shekinah glory was with his people, leading them in the dark, guiding them. And Jesus at this festival has the audacity to say, it's me. I am God. I am the light. I'm God's glory. See me and you see God. This world, we know, is not as it is designed to be. It is now a wilderness in so many ways, isn't it? A place of confusion and pain, with the ability for us to get lost, injured, dead in any number of ways. God is a shade. He's a shade to the killer heat of your conscience and mine, the guilt and the regrets we feel and the shame. And we're going to come to this, see this tonight with the woman caught in adultery. You have sinned, yes, but I do not condemn you because I have taken your condemnation. God, Jesus shades us, doesn't he? God is also a light guiding this way, the way in this muddled world. And we can try and live by the directions our friends give, by the messages we hear the world give, by our own impulses, our own desires. We can live by these. Many do. We shouldn't. Because they change all the time, don't they? We change. Jesus says, I am the light. Follow me. Well, he's the light, and he is also sent from the Father. So verse 13, can you see the Pharisees challenge Jesus because of the Jewish tradition of the need for two witnesses? So validity is needed for this testimony, they say. And they say, Jesus, you're just appearing as your own witness. Where's the second to back up you saying you're the light of the world? And Jesus' response in verse 17 is, well, your law requires two witnesses, but by your law, you're trying to silence me. That's what they're doing. But, again, genius Jesus, going by your law, verse 18, I have another witness, and it is my Father who sent me. How does a father bear witness to the Son? Do you remember the two big public ways? Beginning of his ministry, end of his ministry, baptism and the cross, isn't it? The voice, and then of course at the cross, the earthquake, the curtain torn in two, top to bottom, and the biggest of all, the resurrection of Christ. Verse 19, they say, well, where is your Father? Jesus says, you've no idea. And that is evident by the fact you don't know me. If you did know me, you'd know the Father. And again, this is an epic linking of Jesus to the Father. And John tells us in verse 20 that he spoke these words, that it wasn't in a corner when he said them. This is a busy public place. And again, we can see there, as we saw last week, they want to seize him. But they did not seize him, because his hour had not yet come. Again, that's more evidence, isn't it, of the cooperation of the Father and the Son. So Jesus in this passage is the light of the world. Jesus is the one sent by the Father into the world. But moving to verse 21, Jesus is not of this world. So verse 21, once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, last time Jesus said about this going away, you can see it across the page in the church Bibles. It's chapter 7, verse 33, and maybe particularly 34. Last time he said this, they sort of stroked their chin. Where's he going? Is he going to the Greeks? now they say, is he going to kill himself? Well, Jesus is not talking of that kind of death, although of course he is going to lay down his life, isn't he? But he's talking of going to the Father as well. So verse 23, he spells out the contrast between him and them. You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Well, that could not be clearer, could it? He is really clear, and he's making a point of who he is, and he moves on, 24, therefore you must believe who Jesus is, because if not, we will die in our sins. Verse 24. Why do we need the light? Why do we need Jesus? Because otherwise, every single one of us will die in the darkness of our sin. We must believe in Jesus, and we must follow Jesus. They mean the same thing. To believe and follow really are the same thing. So that we do not walk in the dark. But how? Because you may have noticed a couple of sort of seeming contradictions in the passage. Verse 12, the big verse in the passage, if you like, Jesus says, follow me. Whoever follows me. So there is a following to be done. And verse 21, he says, you can't follow me. You say, well, which is it, Jesus? Do we follow you or do we not follow you? Can we follow you? Can't we follow you? Well, very simply, Jesus is making two different but related points. Verse 12, we can, we should, we must follow Jesus by believing in him. Verse 21, we cannot follow Jesus in what the Father has given Jesus to accomplish on our behalf for those dying in their sins. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is sent by the Father, but he's not of the world. But Jesus will judge the world. Again, though, you careful followers of this passage, you might say, verse 15, Jesus says, I judge no one. Verse 16, but if I do judge, and then verse 26, I have much to say in judgment of you. So which is it now? No judgment, some judgment, lots of judgment. Well, again, it's fairly straightforward. In verse 15 and 16, Jesus is saying, I don't judge by human standards. That's the context there. I don't judge in the manner you do. Verse 16, but if I do judge, or when I judge rightly. That's what he's saying there. In verse 26, he's saying, I am the judge. And yes, of course, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save. But because of Jesus' mission, because of his ministry, there will be division. We looked at this last week. There will be salvation and there will be condemnation. And Jesus at the end will stand as judge. Sheep and the goats and the rest of it. Verse 27. And you read it so well. They don't understand. Oh, so many words, so much linking. They didn't understand. But the point is this. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is up from the Father, whether they or we recognize it or not. This is the gospel to proclaim. Jesus is not standing for election. There is no campaigning. This is a message. This is a man to believe in. This is a man to receive, isn't it? He. Because the basis of his judgment, verse 24, is that we believe in him. Because if we believe in him, or unless we believe in him, we die in our sins. And that was three times in the passage. Die in sin. So strong, isn't it? And verse 30, do you see? Even as he spoke, many believed. You think, great. That is great. But it also comes with a caution, because like in chapter 2, when there was another feast and Jesus spoke and many believed, Jesus didn't believe in them, did he? Because he knew them. And sure enough, the many disappear at Easter. Well, if we must believe in Jesus now, how can we know we will be on the right side of his judgment How can we today know that we will not die in our sins? How can we know Jesus is the light of the world, the Son of the Father? How do we know he is from above? How do we know he's the coming judge? Well, Jesus says, you want proof? Here's your proof. It's verse 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Then you will know. You want proof? You want to know I'm the light? Kill me. Put me on the cross. And you will see, because what will happen is it will release a wave of light across Israel, across the world. A wave of light and truth. And they did, and of course it did, didn't it? When Jesus finally allowed them to seize him and put him to death, they thought they'd won. Evil, darkness conquering, but really it was the beginning, really, wasn't it, of a movement of light which has spread the globe. And it ushered in the kingdom of God. So Jesus being lifted up here has a kind of double meaning, if you like. It's literal, so Jesus is literally going to be lifted up on the cross. But when he is lifted up, he was lifted up as Savior in glory. They didn't mean to, but incredibly, lifting him up on the cross was to exalt him and to give him his greatest, most glorious moments. Because when they killed Jesus, and of course by extension because of our sins, when we did too, the moment of great horror was the moment of Jesus' greatest glory. And so the early church would speak of Christ reigning and ruling from the cross. In what way? Because there we see Christ in his magnificent mercy and love and power over sin and death. Because Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. God, the light of the world, went to the cross willingly. A glorious, head-hurting moment. So what must we do? We must follow, oh, forgot that one. We must follow the light. We must follow Jesus. Because, as this passage makes clear, if we remain walking in darkness, we will die in our sins. Because sin separates us from God. Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. But life is found in following Jesus, the light of life. How do we know we follow the light? You're sitting here this morning, standing here. How do we know we're following the light? Well, let me ask us all. Are we found worshipping at the foot of the cross? Because that is where we need to be, at the cross. Because there we see who Jesus is, what he's really done. When was the last time you worshipped Christ? On your own, in your own heart, in your own time, even. Got before the cross and you worship the Saviour? Or have you ever? Have you never, ever praised Christ for what he's done on the cross? Physical light is literally the source of all biological life, isn't it? It's needed. All plants need life, and all plants are food for the entire world, aren't they? Absolutely vital. Physical light, as we know, is huge, isn't it? And Jesus says, I am the light. And he says, and he means, I am life. So much as the world needs the sun's glory, you need my glory. Because unless I'm in you by the Holy Spirit, unless you follow me, you will die in your sin. We are by nature in the dark. We need spiritual photosynthesis, if you like. And following Jesus begins with seeing him lifted up as the Savior we need. And in John chapter 12, Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Because all will see and they will hear, they will know there's something about this man. And it means also all kinds of people, all men, all kinds of people will come. Sadly, of course, not all will come. As we know, many reject Christ, but all who will can come to Jesus. So we must see Jesus. We must come to the light of the world. We must receive the light of life, and we must follow him and keep following him. Later, John, in his letter, 1 John, he explains or he spells out a number of things of what it looks like to follow the light. And one of the main ones is obedience. So he says, John later says, God is light, in him there's no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness, we're deceived. So if we say we know and love God, but actually we don't obey his commands, we've got a bit of thinking to do, a bit of self-examination, haven't we? And the reason some of us are sick spiritually is because we say we walk in the light, but we hop into the shade. And we live in the shade so often when we want to. And we do things which harm our following of Christ. We're harming ourselves in that, aren't we? We're not walking, we're not living with a clear conscience. And so without obedience and a striving to obey, we don't walk in the light and we begin to kind of shrivel as Christians and die. But if we walk in the light, the kind of things that used to drive us, well, they become less attractive, don't they? And the beauty of Christ becomes more real and more wonderful the more we gaze upon him. So the answer to our impurity, which of course we all struggle with in different ways, our lack of integrity, our being held captive by sin. Maybe some of us this morning are addicts to sin in some way, and you're just trapped in habitual sins. The answer is, run to Jesus, the light of the world, and stay there. Prayer and fellowship is another sign we're walking in the light. So John later says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. Conversely, anyone who hates their brother or sister is still in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, for darkness has blinded them. So follow Jesus, the light of the world, is to begin by walking in the light with Jesus and his people. And there's a sense here that it's walking openly before God and man, isn't it? It's a U-turn from hiding. It's coming clean. Because darkness destroys, doesn't it? Relationships, dishonesty, hidden agendas, manipulation, the dark stuff we need gone. We just strive to fight it as well. And the light will drive away these things. Instead, it will build relationships one with another, with our Christian brothers and sisters, where there is openness, there is honesty, there's love, forgiveness, confession, humility, teachability. Healthy relationships with God and with man only exist when we walk in the light. And the call is not for perfection, but it's an openness and honesty where Jesus leads us further away from the dark. It's spiritual growth, what we're talking about. Another way we know we're following the light is the unique feeling, and maybe you know this, the unique feeling of feeling worse about ourselves, but also better. Which obviously sounds like a contradiction. But the more a believer sees spiritually, the more they see their sin and the worse they feel about themselves. But at the same time, the more a believer sees, the more happier they become as they comprehend the grace of God and rejoice in God's mercy. It's a wonderful thing. And here's another wonderful thing. Those who follow Jesus are never in the dark. A mature Christian might look like they're in the dark when life is hard. But if you talk to them, you realize that they're not in the dark because they say things like, I know God's dealing with people in the Bible. I know he has plans and he has purposes for me in all things. I can't see, but I can see because I know God. I know there's a limit, so I trust and obey him. For he is light. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say. And Christians are not in the dark. Romans 8 tells us all sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And of course, Paul later says, well, keep in step with the Spirit. Don't go back to the dark. So even if life feels quite messed up for you at the moment, If you belong to Jesus, cling to him. He will guide, he will lead you, he will light the way. The world is stumbling around in the dark. It doesn't know what to do. It doesn't even know who the enemy is. But the riches of what Christ teaches here about himself is huge, isn't it? I am the bread. I'm your water. I'm your light. And in a dark world, Jesus turns on the light because he is the light. And whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. Jesus must be more than a question or a puzzle to us. He must be our saviour. And this Easter, of course, another great opportunity to see how he left the glory of heaven and came into the darkness of our sinful world. And to see the perfect Son of God lifted up on the cross will soften our hearts more and more. See Jesus lifted up. And let's lift him up in our hearts and in our lives. Before we sing, let's just be quiet in prayer. Why don't you come before the cross again in your heart now? Or maybe for the first time ever, see him lifted up. Know who he is. Let's just be quiet for a few minutes before we sing. Father, we thank you for revealing Christ as the light of the world. We thank you that he is, and we believe that. We believe in him as the light of life. He is everything we need. But Lord, help us in our unbelief. Help us as we stray into the shadow at times, in the way we live, in the way we think. Let us be anchored to the rock. Let us be living on the living water. Let us be living in the light. Grow us. Strengthen us. We pray as we, this Easter, come before the cross and the empty tomb. We pray for a great work in our hearts, Lord, that you would refresh us in the gospel. And more, Lord, we pray that some would come to see their need of Christ for the first time. Lord, you would take sinners who are dying in their sins and you would show them the Saviour lifted up. You'd show them that he is the light of the world. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen.